I am not the bad guy. I am not the bad guy. I am not the bad guy, not the bad guy. No.
Good evening and welcome. This is your announcer speaking to you through a series of clicks and grunts that your primitive brains are apparently able to translate. I want you to grab a glass of your favorite GoFunny juice, curl up with something icky, and tell those head demons to hush up a little bit. Because it's time once again for our attic-based after-dark delve into all things Trundle Manor, known only as the Trundle Cast.
You once thought I was. I am not the one who drove you into dark and lost. You cannot decipher who's foul and who is fair. Your thoughts are tainted by the toxins in the air.
Just wanna I am be not loved the bad guy. To some extent.
Pass the ice.
Pass that 1920s music.
Guy. Come get it, motherfucker.
I am not the bad guy.
I wasn't prepared to hold it up, that's all. And it definitely wasn't designed for that. It just, it's been reworked. It's like the manor. It's been reworked 1,000 times over and over just to fit the fucking thing.
Feel better?
Is everybody's headphones working well?
Oh, yes.
You still sound like shit.
Well, that's because I'm made from a mound of shit. As far as Reddit is concerned.
No, Caster, the drunken ghost.
No, I just started drinking. I'm good this
Caster time. Learned from his last trouble cast. He's like, I was okay at the beginning, and then I was like really drunk there.
Yeah, it's real fast.
Yeah, you were. I don't know. I wasn't going to stop you.
You made for interesting conversation.
It always does.
I don't know if that's what you would call it.
Could you imagine
okay,
if we had have
we
our
were
party
silently
sober?
Mocking you.
Oh yeah.
Loud.
Oh, yeah.
He made for loud conversation.
Yeah.
Well, all right, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Toronto Cast. This is our roundup, wrap up, whatever we call it. This is our show in the attic with our co-hosts. Veld von Minx to my right.
Hello.
Hubba hubba hubba.
Around the table is Mike Syke. My Fester.
Greetings and salutations.
And my brother. Caster, our butcher.
Hello.
And of course, me, Mr. Arm, your host. Feel free to laugh at anything that we do. You know, I started realizing through every single one of the Toronto cast that all the voices that I try to do, they all just sound like me, nasally and shitty. So I'm probably not going to try that much anymore. But we're keeping up with our commitment of doing a once a month Trundle Cast, and we're all on the same drunk scale. I might be a little drunker, so good for me.
Ding 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 ding.
And good for you.
Anytime that I shut up, everybody can just talk while I'm.
Is that tequila you've brought too?
Yeah.
Nice.
Pre-made concoction.
Oh, what do you got?
Something we know.
No.
Okay. Even better.
He's not going to tell us either.
Well, didn't you see my post?
Like, this is full of mescaline.
Oh, shit.
I got to work tomorrow.
A little bit of...
This podcast is going to get interesting again.
No, it was bring rum to work day.
Ooh.
Every day is bring rum to work day if you try hard enough.
I went to work today and I made sure to drink one of those ciders that we had left over.
That's a good morning drink, a cider.
Yeah, I'm going to drink it. Because it's not that fucking alcoholic, so it doesn't matter. Nice. Good call.
You know,
you got the... What was that one we got?
Boo.
Something weird.
It was from Ireland. It was some Irish thing. It was not very good.
It was all right.
It was a little sour, but, you know. Yeah.
Well, it was not alcoholic, hardly. It was as alcoholic
for
as any
like
beer,
us.
Which is bullshit.
I miss England every single day, and I miss waking up to gloomy weather British voices going to Sainsbury's and drinking a fucking cider on the tube at like noon.
And good cider.
Yeah. And very good cider.
That's the difference. All the stuff that we have here is called alcoholic cider, where over there, if they had non-alcoholic cider, that'd be a fucking debauchery.
We call it juice.
That'd be wrong, yeah. It's apple juice that's sparkling.
Yeah, our cider saying it's alcoholic is sort of like telling people how punk rock you are. Like, all right. Sure.
Very
you
well
are.
Done. Oh, this is the Toronto Cast. We've got, I'm sure we got some stuff to talk about. Who knows? I got a new segment that I want to bring up at some point. We'll throw that in there. And so at the beginning, I want you guys to think about it. We have Villainous Confessions, which is going to be one of our segments. So I want you all to think about some villainous confessions that you might have.
I have one in mind. Mine might be more of a faux pas, but I think it counts.
Oh, that'll work anyway.
I don't think I should be doing this.
No,
get
I
drunker.
Don't.
Keep in mind, everybody, this is all real. This is all happening.
There's too many people that are alive out there, Fester, so you can't say a word.
Well, we can always fix that, you know. The alive part, not you not saying a word.
Oh, okay.
I'd never cut out your tongue, boy. I love your voice. And other things. Toronto break. Jesus, yes. Let's not clink in front of the computer this time.
Clink.
Woo!
Air.
Yep.
Cheers.
Air cheers. What's everybody drinking tonight? Let's go around the table. Valda, what are you drinking?
I have some bottom shelf rum and Diet Orange Sunkist, because that's what's at the house.
Fester, what's in your glass?
Rockin'.
Good man.
We're going to steal some of that if you have any left. If we run out of our shitty stuff.
Oh, it's in this wonderful flask I got as a groomsman, you know, for this wedding I was in. Yeah.
Looks very familiar.
I was very against buying flasks for the groomsman because I thought that was cliche, but this flask is so fucking cool to me because it's rounded, it's gold dipped, it's the nicest one I've ever owned, and it's not based off that shitty design where it's just welded stainless steel.
Yeah.
So I hope you guys liked it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They didn't have like groomsmen or fucking mustaches on them or
anything. Yeah. I didn't have them engraved because fuck
classy.
That shit.
Very classy.
I don't want people knowing that it's yours.
And
just
they
in
were
case.
Full too, weren't they?
Weren't why? They you going to walk off with it?
They might have.
While it's full.
I just want you to be like, that's not mine. That's not my flask. I'm not the one that has the poison in it. Don't worry. It's not mine. Don't have my name on it.
It was almost as cool as the coffin cake boxes with like little high-heeled shoe knives.
That
you ruled with that.
Yeah.
I was very proud of that.
Yeah, I spent money and Velda spent time, effort, and a little bit of money.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, by the way, cool I need one of those little pictures of you.
What little pictures?
The little 3x3 pictures of yourself.
Oh, yeah.
I want one.
Man. I just did one. I will start making prints of them because I'm going to do a series. There's going to be me, Little Devil, in his little punk vest, and there's going to be a good one of Anton, too, doing some
She's talking
face.
About paintings that she does.
I do these little tiny 3x3 paintings, like tiny scale.
I feel like your scale is perfect because you get just like this perfect amount of detail.
Yeah.
Where like a big one, it would be over detailed and it would get boring for you, I'm sure.
It would take a long time. Because you know me, like I don't always have time to finish something and I have so many sketches that are unfinished, but I can do a tiny painting in a night, so that's easy for me.
I mean, you got a lot of positive responses from everybody.
I feel really good because it had been years since I really made an effort to paint anything.
And
so.
That was really nice. But you know,
it was of me, so
it was a work of love, you know?
Not vain at all.
They're perfect little accent pieces too.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, we have a bunch at the manor that we put above one of our cases that Velda did. And I think I took pictures of all of them, but we have to get them all printed. We got a couple of them printed on Giclée, which are kind of cool. But that's sort of like the pompous artist thing to do, is to get shit done in Giclée, which is a bubble jet printer that costs a lot of money. So, they look good, though.
Yeah, they do look good.
Yeah.
But, Caster, what are you drinking?
Yes, back to drinks.
I am drinking tequila with lemonade, ginger ale, and a splash of sea salt.
How does that go? Dead in an alley. No? Yeah?
Oh my god, is somebody coming up the stairs?
Dead in an alley. That's the ending to tequila, right?
How come we don't have cute little groomsmen switchblades? I mean, come on,
man.
Because every groomsman had a switchblade already.
It's true.
Yeah,
that well, true.
Yeah, you guys should already be prepared. I assume the best and the worst of my groomsmen. So apparently Velda thought that her ladies were prepared enough. That's on you.
Well, listen, I know how hard it is to fit a knife into a bra when you're wearing a skin-tight dress. So I was giving them the benefit of the doubt.
Oh.
Not that they wouldn't do those things.
Shoe knife. Shoe I was knife. Doing a trying to break, sorry.
Shoe knife.
Couldn't respond.
What's good for cutting the bra straps off?
Hey, ooh, it's very useful.
Or the jock straps off.
Oh, oh, that's too sporty.
Who does
it's the only
that?
Male thing I can think of that rhymes with it.
Mm. Is that a trundle break?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. It is.
That's constant.
Yeah, we should stop doing it. You have to hold announce
on.
It.
I'm so sorry.
That way it's,
I'm just drink. I'm chugging it down.
They have to drink
point.
Along.
I don't know why.
Yeah, you're going to be mean.
So, Anton, what are you drinking?
Yes, what are you
drinking? I'm drinking, obviously, the shitty rum and yeah. as well. Because it's the orange cream soda. That's the drink of the matter. And as fucking lame as that is, and as much as I like absinthe and all that other stuff, this is my comfort drink. It's Diet Sunkissed. That's
and
right.
And you better diet. Pick up Diet because I've picked up the regular a couple times to get so mad.
Yeah.
It's sticky stuff.
And it's yeah, it's not because it's not because I'm ashamed of my belly. It's because I don't want people spilling sticky shit all over my house. So luckily Diet doesn't do that.
Before you guys came up, we were actually talking. I was like, I came up with the perfect nightmare. Scenario for Anton.
Don't announce it to the world. They're all
gonna
know.
Tell me more.
We're gonna
tell me
stick
more.
Him in a room where everything is sticky.
Ooh.
The floor is sticky. The walls are sticky. Everything is sticky. The key to get to the padlock to get out is sticky. Everything is
Creep Show 12. And there's Anton.
There's fly traps hanging from the ceiling way too low, so they're gonna stick to your
like
face
it.
If you don't crouch
well,
down.
You know, Tom. So we could make this a reality.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. Creep Show 12.
I don't wanna. Well, if all you Toronto Files out there are listening and you're getting a good glimpse into the ideals that. Everybody's voice is a little bit louder and clear. It's because I made these guys get headphones so they can fucking hear that I can't hear them when they're talking into the mics. So now they're all in the right place. Right, guys?
Yeah.
I feel very in the right place.
I get to check my slurring.
What? What? Hello? Is this thing on?
Wait, I still have to turn mics down.
Oh,
you
didn't
know,
cry.
No, I hoped for that. That's why you're part of the Trundle cast. I wanted to have to turn yours down constantly, and it's working out quite
well. It's cheaper than paying for a crybaby sound effect.
Non-union wages.
I don't pay babies. Please.
Mm. Trying to break.
Baby union. Trying to break.
Trying to break.
I really need to get that gong. That way we can just do that from now on.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Because of that, I stopped from picking up one of those little ding 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 bells over at the dollar store the other day.
Oh.
Because I was expecting the gong to be here.
He was expecting the gong
come on,
to
man.
Be here.
Well, come on, know, man.
You let me down.
Yeah, Cass was like, I got a gong. I'm
don't let
a gong.
Me down.
I said I can get a gong.
Yeah, well, can get and did get are two different words.
Yeah. I'll get a gong.
You can get laid or you did get laid.
Was that?
I did not get a gong.
Sound of
okay.
A vagina.
Yeah. But you got a gong.
So it's been a month since the last Toronto cast. What do you guys think of the thing that we put out after? It was actually the 13th Toronto cast when we came back.
Oh, that fits.
So
it was great.
Yeah,
it was okay, right?
I like the new direction.
I can't wait for drunken movie reviews or drunken history here.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff in the works.
There
yeah.
is a here's, lot of stuff
it will
in
be
the
more
works.
Structured soon.
Here's one. Here's one of the plans. The plan was because tonight we talked about what was the drunken movie talk. What was the conversation that we were going to get drunk and do, hon?
Oh,
that you came up with.
I said because we love the Drunk History Show that we should all pick a topic that we are at least invested in or interested in. Research
any
it
topic.
Beforehand. Any topic, but something that kind of fits with the Toronto theme. Something
like
dark
I like
or
cell phones
or fucked up. No. No, it's got to be something.
I like serial killers.
Yeah,
that would work.
There we go.
That would work. Huh? It could be, you
I
know.
Love I like masturbation.
We
come again?
Talk about, yeah.
Could it be like anything? Is that what you mean?
Within reason, like something historical.
Very trundle centric. How about that?
Trundle centric. Something dark or fucked up or strange, and we all talk about it, think about it, drink about it. All
right. So
I like that as a slogan. What was
you
that?
May
how
have
did that go?
Say it again.
Talk about it. Think about it. Drink about it.
I'm loving it.
Let's capture that little section.
That's going up on the Trundlemania.
It's going up on my butthole. What?
Well, so get Bonnie to tattoo that all over your ass.
I was saying, since we didn't come up with anything for this TronoCast, maybe we'll do the TronoCast, we'll all continue to drink, and then towards the end of the night, we'll come back to the TronoCast as drunk as we possibly can.
And throw out some topics.
And then talk about what our topic is going to be.
Yeah, yeah.
This was a trap the whole time.
Right?
Maybe.
Much like your last girlfriend.
Oh!
Burn.
Trying to break.
Trying to break. Whoop.
To knock into my microphone.
No.
I've been trying.
Well, you know, we've got a lot of topics. Oh, hello.
Jimmy Z, of course, is here photographing and getting ready to edit this horrible thing.
Please make sure you powder my head before you take a picture of me.
He's so uncomfortably close.
He's
got to
buy
times.
You dinner first.
Well, you can't. You can only be uncomfortably close in the attic of Trundle Manor.
That's true. Well, we could talk about, you know, how you made us incredibly jealous while you were on your honeymoon.
That's right. We talked about the
all the things
last time.
You promised. Oh, Mike, if I only had money, I'd bought you this. Or, oh, Mike, if I only had some money, I'd bought you that.
Hey,
we
didn't
that's
even
our entire
make it,
life, Mike.
We didn't even make it into the operating theater museum at the end because that was not a free museum. We're like, we should probably pay to get on the train to get to the airport, maybe.
You know, that wasn't our thinking, but thank God that we didn't get that because we went to England for our honeymoon.
London.
Yeah. We went to London for a honeymoon, blah, blah, blah. It was fucking great. I don't want to do another concentration on the wedding thing.
No,
this
but.
Is not, though, because it morphs into two other things.
Yeah.
It morphs into Little Devil.
Yeah.
And it morphs into...
No, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, come on, that was such a huge thing. And we have to thank our audience, you know, for donating, you know, giving of their free money, you know, to... help, you know, pay for Little Devil's operation.
Our little kitty cat got sick.
Toronto Manor is notably not a place that makes or has a lot of money. And when we got back from a honeymoon... All right, we'll talk about the honeymoon real quick.
All right.
Let's make it quick.
Quick.
We went to London. We stayed with good friends.
Andy and Thea.
And they let us stay in one of their spare rooms. They got a great, great house.
Beautiful house.
We actually wanted to trade houses with them for a while.
And they were so into it. Cause he at least has been to Trundle and he was all over it.
I feel like we said this at some point. But,
who knows?
Yeah, but yeah, I definitely don't. What's happening over there?
We both looked at each other and thought someone was passing.
Jimmy,
gas.
What are you doing?
Jimmy slowly doing a zipper as not to be noticed, but like making it sound way worse.
Do it like a Band-Aid. It sounds like farts.
None of us can hear what real life sounds like. So everything sounds like a covert fart right now.
It was vibrating, though. You know?
It's all covert farts.
If someone's covert farting and or vibrating back there, I'm just going to think the worst of you.
Trying to break.
Anyway, honeymoon was wonderful. Most of the museums in London are free, and most of them contain dead specimens, so we were all jerked off over that.
Yeah, well, we're so used to...
That's a good expression, I love it.
We being the only people that jar and preserve things, because like even our natural history museums in America, we don't have a lot of preserved things. It's more taxidermy and stuff like that.
Right. Freeze-dried.
Yeah, there's definitely... almost no jarred things, because I feel like maybe America thinks that's weird. I don't know what it is.
Well,
but
we also don't have the money to get what they have. I mean, they're all back.
No. I'm not talking about us. I'm talking about our museums.
Oh, not just Toronto. Yeah, you're right.
Like,
you're
every
right.
museum I've been to in America doesn't have... There's not a lot of jarred specimens.
At least
not
on display.
We should really, really, really ask Evie for that tour that she's promised us.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure... behind one of those locked doors, there is a shitload of jars full of formaldehyde and parts and bits.
Let me throw some of that in there. Eve, our friend, is she's a security guard at one of our natural history museums.
Yes.
Don't want to get too specific.
Because she's a security guard, which means we're breaking in.
She's the night
watch woman. but our, like, you can probably guess what Pittsburgh's biggest natural history museum is. And you know, she's talked about giving us like a private tour and things like that. I think
if
I don't
possible.
Remember that.
If legal.
But there's this very specific thing that has just kind of been open. They've been talking about opening, which is a wet specimen vault that I've never been in.
Those three words together just sound beautiful.
Right.
Wet specimen vault.
I know what I'm thinking of.
Not cabinet, not room.
No.
Vault.
And it's this place that's underneath, I think it's underneath the Natural History Museum, that no one has gone in since the 20s.
Yes.
And they've only just started exploring it again. It was sealed off for some reason.
Sounds so extra creepy.
And the worst thing for me is that
speakeasy, you know, you weren't trying to get
right?
into.
You know, I drink out those jars.
One of my bosses in one of my jobs actually got in there for a private tour, and I'm so fucking like I don't even want to work for him right now because he didn't invite me to be part of it, and it stresses me out so bad because I'm like, do you not know that this would be the pinnacle of my life at this point?
I've had that moment
because this is Pittsburgh. Yeah.
Yeah. And
it's like, why are these people not thinking of me? Oh, they're. I guess they're better than me. They want to hold something over me. Whatever. Fuck them. Trundle Break, personal. I don't care.
No.
We got deep.
But there is this vault that I eventually want to try to get into. And who knows? Whatever. But in that vein, since Pittsburgh and America doesn't have a lot of places with jarred specimens that are on display for the, you know, for the general public, when we went to England, there were every single natural history museum that we went to had loads of jarred specimens.
Oh, yeah. And some were specifically medical, too.
Yeah. So,
they're like hands?
Yeah,
they're
heads.
Were
hands,
nice.
Heads.
Most of them were animals.
Yeah.
But there were a ton of them, you know, there were a few of them that did have human
specimens. They had squids, they had dodo birds,
yeah.
They had things that, I think they had an ichthyosaur, they had whatever kind of dog was in Nosferatu that went extinct.
But it made me...
Things that we don't have anymore.
It made me want to jar things differently, though, because there was a few where they had actually cut out the stomach, pulled out the intestines and the insides, and had them on display. But also, the whole animal was on display in a jar. In this clear liquid, it looks so beautiful. And it made me want to up my game.
Oh, yeah. It gave us a whole new lease on life. And there was the Grant Museum has, you can adopt a specimen for £15, which is nothing. You can become a friend of the museum.
When we went there, that was a lot to us.
Well, yeah,
because we were on the last leg of our trip.
Yeah, but you can adopt a specimen of the museum and have a little plaque with your name on it.
Yep.
So we have one in there now. Is it a squid? I forget.
It's a part of a squid, and it's dedicated to the Secret Society of Odd Acquisition.
Yes.
Yeah. So we're in England somewhere.
We are. Andy pretty has cool. to send us a photo of that. We got to remind him.
Oh, yeah. Actually, our friends that we stayed with work for that college
yes.
that was part of. And in fact, guys, we thought about that being something that we do for Trundle Manor, where you can adopt a piece at Trundle Manor.
That's right.
We'll put a little plaque. You spend $20, and then we'll give you a special little plaque with your name on it that will, you know, it'll be there, so people would be like, oh, this person helped pay for this specimen. That kind of thing.
But it's like adopting it. You can send people over to see your name in the museum. And
it definitely doesn't mean that you can take a tour at Toronto Manor, not donate, but buy a specimen. Because we want $40, not just $20.
Yeah.
Fucking creep.
Who's a creep?
Sorry. No.
We put a lot of work into this shit. I'm willing to make that be the moneymaker. Everybody's quiet. Mike, stop looking at your phone.
What was the name of, in Cemetery Man, the crypt that they were in where it was water was dripping and... Because that's what I was trying to think of whenever you came up with your term, you know, the wet, wonderful vault. I'm trying to think of in Cemetery Man.
Wet specimen vault.
Yes. Well,
let's say let's all say it together so Mike knows.
One,
three, two, one.
Wet specimen vault.
You say it three times.
No, that's enough.
I don't remember, Mike. I don't remember.
Okay. Well, that reminded me of that.
I like that.
For those of you Trundle files out there, please write in and give us the answer.
Sure. Why not? I'm out of drink.
I know.
I was going to drink then, but I'm out of drink.
Well, we brought some more up. Yeah.
Did we bring?
I brought up ice, extra drinks.
Is there orange?
Extra booze,
he's a smart gentleman. I have orange right
next
to me.
Right there next to her, yeah.
And if you ran out of
crappy rum, I have Kraken.
Do you have better? Yeah, oh, good. You do have Kraken.
Yes.
I was going to say, can I have rum
Give that to Velda. I'll take the crappy. I'm fine with that.
I've gotten spoiled in my drink taste. Thank you.
I have killed my taste buds with salt and vinegar chips. So I can't taste anything anyway. Ice break. Oh shit.
Oh, so it's okay when you short out your own PA system, but
say it on the mic, bitch. Nobody knows what's going on. Mike, why'd you short out my mic with some ice?
You mean we can be doing this pantless?
What?
Yeah. Keep in mind, Jimmy Z is going to be shooting and filming as much as he can. So yes, you can do a pantless. Man, we were listening to some other podcasts, and they like last podcast on the left and things like that,
which we love.
And there's a few episodes that I listen to. That like, there's people there like, hey, what's the policy? Like, can I take off my shirt? And all I can think is, why would you want to take off your fucking shirt?
That's weird.
I don't care if I'm hot. I'm not taking off my shirt in front of people. That's weird, right? No?
You've done it several times.
Caster, give me... No, that's Derek. That's not me.
Wife beater.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's Derek, not
But not when you're going to podcast at somebody else's house or place.
I went to my...
It's an odd question.
I went to my allergist today.
They make you take your clothes off?
Shh. And I got to roll up my long sleeve black shirt every time. And at some point I always make a comment like I should just put a slit up the side of this because it's hard for me. These are tight sleeves for some reason. And the one girl goes, oh, you can just like cut a hole in it. And where you get your shot. And I thought that was a cute idea. And then the other one's like, well, it's going to be warm soon. So we can all wear like, you know, short sleeves. And I just go, I'll still be wearing this. When it's warm.
Actually, I like the flap in your arm idea because it reminds me of Noel Fielding's luxury comedy when he does the New York City
cop. The nipple?
No, not the nipple. When he's the New York City cop and his arm flaps
that's
open,
right.
And there's like a weird little face that lives on his arm.
I gotta say, I think you're one of three people I've known my entire life who doesn't wear shorts.
Right. I don't know. I just don't care.
So I know, but there's like three people days, I've ever known who
I'm a grown ass man. I'm a grown ass man.
And never wear short sleeves.
And
no.
I'm not going to wear shorts because I'm a grown ass
man. In the old days,
man.
When shorts were short pants and when you became of age, you got long pants. That meant you're a man.
Let me make a comment on our silent partner so you all know.
Jimmy doesn't wear shorts.
Jimmy Z in the back, he's he's a bit bigger than me. But he doesn't wear shorts either, nice. And that
I
makes
had,
me
it,
feel good.
I did not say it was a fat thing.
No, I didn't either.
No. I'm just saying. It's not just a fat
thing. I'm just saying, like, I'm comfortable in long stuff, and I'm glad that some of my friends are, too.
So just because I wear knickers, you're going to mock me?
Yes. Yes, I will. No one who is over the age of 12 should wear shorts.
But it's the bullshit. Knickers.
What are you, a newsie? You
stop saying that word. People are going to misinterpret.
You can call them plus fours.
We didn't have to cut off there, by the way.
Tunnel break.
Yeah, we didn't have to cut off there, by the way.
I slur too much to ever use that word. I use different costume terms.
I found out there's...
He was going to try and come back, but then he choked.
Oh, no.
I found out there's... He wears short shorts.
Oh, there we are. Short shorts are fine.
But, that, like, goes towards the way we do everything. It's an image. And I thought about it when I was leaving that joint, and I thought, I have a uniform. I dress this way every... You guys know that. I dress this way every day. I buy the same clothes from Dickies. I buy a shirt,
a
pants.
They stink so bad.
I modify them. I try to clean them when I think that they smell. But I also have five versions of this outfit sitting downstairs in a heap. That's the way it is. Because I like this outfit. Why would I wake up and have to put on something new when I can just put on my beautiful outfit that makes me look and feel good?
Why? When you can wear a brand new shirt, T-shirt from T-Villain?
Hey, I do
the first name in
so
T-shirts.
I always change my T-shirt. I will say that. My underclothes, I always change. Just the overclothes.
Well, this one glows in the dark.
I do like that shirt.
And it's not from my body odor.
I adore this Vincent Price shirt.
Let's talk about Mike's T-shirt. Maybe we need a sponsor.
It's from the Vincent Price collection of T-Villain. This is sponsored by the Vincent Price family.
Nice. Really?
Yes.
That's fucking cool.
Yes.
They are doing wonderful things. His daughter, Victoria Price, goes on tour all across the country and speaks about him. And she's coming to Pittsburgh, I just found out. Don't know when. Just Pittsburgh day confirmed.
Victoria, I think we're coming for you.
May have inadvertently came up with a new segment.
Speaking of villains.
Wait.
Oh, God damn it.
What's your segment?
You have notes on this. I'll forget if I don't.
I have a note. Go ahead. Why did you pause so long?
We have to constantly mention about Mike's shirt now.
Oh, I like that.
Because Mike wears a different shirt every time.
Always wear a good shirt.
Yeah, I always wear a good shirt. I've got a boatload.
What we're going to do is the goal is to get you a free shirt eventually from someone.
Mm.
Ooh.
You wear a different shirt every time.
Send your free shirts to Trundle Manor at 7724 Juniata Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15218. It will eventually get to Mike. What size are you?
3XL. Oh.
Send in a 3X. Spend the extra money for the extra fabric, and this guy will definitely mention your name on the Trundle cast.
See, that's great, because they'll probably have 3XL left over. I know from having big feet, my size is either nowhere to be found, or they're cheap as shit because nobody wants them. So you are in good hands.
Zelda is a beautiful girl. She has giant feet.
I've never
had a problem with that.
Statuesque is what I am.
Oh, that's a good call.
Thank you.
I like that.
Most seniors in high school are bigger than me.
Speaking of villainous teas, let's move into our villainous confessions. I hope you guys had enough time to think about it.
Not at all.
I want you to talk about your most terrible confession. It could be fake, but probably shouldn't be. We'll at least pretend that it isn't. And I also want you to do it as your villain, your inner villain. Think about it.
Does this require a pause?
No.
Okay.
This might require a trundle break, that's for sure. Trundle break!
Trundle break. More than that.
Beep.
Let's get some ready.
That was great. That was definitely on the mic. See, isn't it great having headphones? Now you can see.
I feel like I'm in all four dimensions
now.
Yeah,
it's
good
shit. It's great. So let's say...
Do you have one?
A villainous confession. As myself, I've spent a lot of time behind the wheel. I have a lot of vehicles, mainly because I have to ditch them at the wrong time, at the right opportunity. Sometimes I run over things that I regret running over. One night, deep in the dark depths of our lovely town of Pittsburgh, I drunkenly plowed through the body of a supple, pale kitty cat. And I was so sad that I ran over this kitty cat. And I didn't want to. And I didn't even go back for it. I feel terrible. That is my villainous confession.
It could have been a lasting, memento.
It was a sad death because I didn't even add it to the collection. I'm terrible.
Did you bury it again? Is that what happened?
I just kept going.
Mm.
Just kept going.
Right through to the other side?
Going down the road. I don't know what that reference is.
I don't want to be buried.
As though you were having sex with it and just made a hole in the other side of it.
As if I were plowing the dead cat repeatedly with my cock and then I just burst through the other side because it was rotted to some extent.
And
bugs had already eaten at its flesh and the degradation of itself.
Well,
that was later.
Like driving a cat into a closet?
I obviously went back 8 days later so I could fuck the cat.
Well.
I mean, I don't regret that. That was fucking great.
Everything becomes a pile of meat eventually.
Right, yeah.
Come again?
Oh, over and over and over. Thank you very much. Very, very hard is what I was.
Well, speaking of very hard.
Yeah.
Well, a long time ago when I was a very prepubescent, pimply little boy, and I was so horny because I was
horny.
I was so young and so
young.
I happened to be at a relative's house and relatively speaking, and they had a Playboy calendar and
so hard.
It was so hard. And I made a mistake of like, well, I don't think they'll miss this.
You mean your dead aunt?
and so it was like I kind of took it and was hoping that they thought it was maybe fell behind something, but I think I made the mistake of taking the other one.
The other one.
Uh-oh.
So I had twice the amount of material.
Those pages never came apart again.
I like the concept that Mike doesn't understand that this can be a fake thing if you wanted to.
And those pages never did come.
I don't think we're that creative.
I liked it, though. I could relate is what it was. We have a lot of these to do, so I won't say anymore. Caster, do you have anything to add? Anybody? Well, Rachel, Caster?
I feel like you kind of stole mine because I was actually going to do a roadkill story,
right.
Too.
I have.
Sorry.
You got a roadkill story?
No, not exactly.
All right, well, I'll do mine.
Not one that you're ashamed of.
Not one that I'm ashamed of.
Mine's real quick.
All right.
And I'm not really ashamed of it either.
Good.
it happened
one
the
night.
Last time we left this podcast.
Bum, bum, bum.
I was driving Jimmy home.
Jimmy.
And out of nowhere, and by that I mean I was,
nowhere.
You know, just trying to keep the car on the road.
On the road.
And this big-ass rabbit comes out of nowhere.
So big.
Boom, clobbered it.
Mm.
I, however, immediately turned around.
Add it to your collection.
Put it in a bag. And
sopping.
Put it in the freezer.
Wet.
Oh.
Bag.
It's in a bag. No, so it will be... hopefully, a microphone at some point for the Trundle Cast.
Hooray!
Yay!
You did not dine in vain, you poor little bunny.
That's a happy
bunny.
Ending.
So you want to cover
it's
one of the Trundle Cast
big,
microphones with a rabbit.
Big fucking wow. Rabbit, man.
That's fucking awesome.
It's a big it's not even a little baby.
For the
like,
podcast.
Yeah.
It's at least a
you
10
should,
pounder.
You should Ooh. Talk into it, and you should let, you should, we,
yeah, well,
we should taxidermy
yep.
it,
yep.
but not preserve it. Just let it rot on the mic.
No.
So you
have
to get,
in his
so to get close. And
no.
to have a voice,
no.
you have to talk into a rotting rabbit
in,
carcass.
In its mouth.
No.
No? You don't want to you don't want to kiss a...
No.
Like it's just a soppingly
no.
wet, sad rabbit? You don't want to like put your mouth all up on it?
I am debating on whether or not...
Dead rabbit tastes
pretty good. I should talk into the face or the butt.
Oh.
Ooh.
Listen.
I don't want
what?
It to smell, but I yeah.
We have a thing.
If you're
death
talking,
is fine, but poop death is so
yeah,
much worse.
That's enough of that. If you that,
poop death.
That's why. If you talk into the butt, you can preserve it. If you talk into the face, we're going to let it rot.
But it is.
That's going to happen.
But it is.
Yeah,
look
no.
how easy.
I'd rather talk into
it.
Here
tanned,
comes Caster
a tanned hide.
Tail.
Just like that.
Yeah.
On the next...
I like that. Caster Cottontail. That's a good one.
On the next TurnoCast, our loving caster, our butcher, will be talking into a dead rabbit. Into the ass of a dead rabbit. Let's all enjoy as his reverberations of his beautiful voice echo through the bowels of a dead fucking rabbit.
Mm. Is it my turn?
It is.
Yep. So, turned everything back up. Go ahead.
Excellent. As I've mentioned before, I am a statuesque lady with
of course.
Generous feet. I
like that you're slightly taller than me. Definitely when you're in heels.
It's so Adamsy. It's so Charles Adams cartoon perfect. I don't mind it at all.
I have no issue with that.
Beautiful.
I'm tall enough.
I love the vintage clothing, and I have a rather unhealthy obsession with dead things. So
Thank
sometimes
God.
I go shopping in cemeteries. I like to say go gold digging for grandparents to acquire their vintage clothing by listening to their war stories. But more often than not, I'll just, you know, get a shovel. So it took me a long time to find this particular corpse, being of the vintage inspiration. Most women had tiny feet back then, so I had to find somebody who was more female-identifying than female-born. Took my time, did the whole grave-digging business, and wouldn't
These can be fake.
Is this Ed Wood?
I know, but listen, I'm honest.
You're allowed to, you don't have to confess.
Is this Ed Wood?
You're too young. Too much time at the Allegheny Cemetery.
I'm not talking about Sweet Eddie, but this particular lovely darling, wouldn't you know, was buried with two separate shoes, and I did not find that out until I walked home with those two separate shoes. I was drunk, so I couldn't tell that they were of two different heights of the heels. When I got in the front door, two separate dead lady shoes. Fucking sad.
Too bad they were those clomp foot people.
Are you sure one wasn't the foot?
I'm not sure, because I fell asleep right on the middle of the floor.
A little history of Toronto Manor's drinking is that we consistently enjoy the imbibation of multiple cocktails. On top of that, we also allow ourselves to fall into that beautiful coma that is sleep, on the floor or in the bed. But no matter what, we don't necessarily remember the ends of our nights, let alone the ideals of how many graves that we have pilfered.
I just don't like night to end.
I'm glad you never let it, darling. Trundle break.
Trundle break.
Oh, wait, you have ice.
Ice is
a whole bucket of ice.
I have you're empty. I'll give you
bucket
ice.
Bucket of rum. Ice would be nice. Done, I'll give
you bucket ice. Of rum? No, there's a bucket
when
of ice.
Done,
there's not that
ice.
Much rum.
Damn it.
I don't think there's going to be that much rum in a room full of us.
That's fair.
Nah.
That is enough to ruin us, I'll be honest with you. That's half a bottle. All right. That's not too bad.
I'll temper myself.
We're not terrible enough where that's not enough.
I limited how much liquor I actually brought.
Well, you brought that up.
I know. I had
you denied yourself.
I did not want to crack
that's
a brand
you,
new
motherfucker.
Bottle.
Motherfucker.
Because last time I drank a pretty good priced bottle
Casper,
of scotch.
The drunken butcher.
Yeah. So tonight we're sticking with a third bottle.
Nice.
And we're limiting ourselves at that.
So what's Toronto Manor? What's the future of Toronto Manor? Our wonderful villainous confessions. I hope that you guys let's give the chant so that we can make people forget about this. Toronto Cast is all fake. Toronto Cast is all fake. Toronto Cast is all fake. Toronto Cast is all fake.
Gobble gobble, we accept you one of us. Gobble gobble, we accept you one of us.
Beautiful.
So you guys know everything that we have said is all fake. It's 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 all.
Wait, something's happening over here.
Are you getting hard? Caster, stop getting hard.
Fake.
Oh, that last one.
What?
Yeah, whoa.
Whoa.
Never mind.
All right, then.
Talk about sprouting Ed Wood.
Talk amongst yourselves for a minute. I'll be right back.
That is the very first and maybe the last villainous confessions that we ever do. Who knows?
The future of the manor.
Yeah, let's continue. What's the future of the manor? What do we have going?
Well, since it has been rather cold outside and all that, people
terrible.
Hibernate. Yeah, we are finally getting over that. So we're going to start doing the comedy night again. April.
Oh, that's right.
Was the last Saturday of April? Look at your phone because I don't remember the day. Oh. We're having our comedy night coming back. We have a stand-up comedy night once a month in the parlor, which is as many people as can fit, which is not very many.
You know, that's...
Come early, come often.
That's right. As long as you clean it up.
It's been Saturday, you said.
I'm not certain if that's true.
Burr, burr, burr. Is it in the calendar?
Yes, I put it in the calendar.
It's red, then. I don't see it.
Stay bow, bow.
Well, burr, talk amongst yourselves.
It's not here.
You figure it out.
It's not in the calendar.
Well... It's coming up soon. It's in April. Let me see. Doot, doot.
All right.
Doot, doot, doot.
Grinding your teeth.
Doot. April 21st.
What? The 21st? That's a Friday.
That's pizza day. That's what went. I didn't
also,
put it, but that's what's in the message.
We should really have a live Toronto cast from your father's kitchen while we all gorge ourselves with pizza.
They would hate that so hard.
I'll bring you guys the next pizza.
Yeah. So April 21st will be our next comedy night, and
ooh, I got a thing going.
Oh, all right, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
But on that note, we are also having a new segment of the podcast, which will be for our movie nights every month. I've always fancied myself a horror hostess and always get too drunk and people come too late for me to actually talk about movies and dumb nerd trivia in front of people when they just want to get high in the garage. So
well, darling, I want you to be that a horror host as you should be.
Thank you.
You are so strangely designed. It's almost like a Frankensteinian lady. That's why I love you.
I come from a long direct line of horror hosts and professional vampires.
What we'd like to do is we're going to do a small Trundlecast version of Velda being recorded. It's going to be video. Jimmy Z is going to record it. We're going to put that out separately. We'll tag it in the Trundlecast and all that kind of bullshit. So you guys can check it out.
And it'll just be a teaser for the upcoming movie night. So it'll be myself and our dear friend Eve. Sometimes there will be special guests. I have some people in mind that might be good for certain episodes. But we will just give a teaser for these movies that people may or may not have seen. If they can't show up, they can watch them on their own. Or they can just watch us get stupid.
Yeah. Let's have a good time.
You're going to get drunk on
well,
your
I
couch
I think you should turn on the
anyway.
Trundlevision so we could... tune along in, you know?
Well, yeah. We'll make sure to make a post so everybody knows when it's going on so that you could check out, because it will be recorded in Trundle Manor's parlor in our live video feed that you can check out at trundlemanor.com. We have a live video feed that you can check out thanks to Dropcam or whatever the hell it's called now, Nest or
Did
some bullshit.
Did we turn those off last night?
Oh, no. They've always been on.
Fuck.
Right? Don't worry. Nobody was watching.
What are you saying? Nobody was watching. I was gonna
say, the only person who'd be
watching. You know, I'm the only one who watches. I like to watch.
I never say anything that I never think that Mike wouldn't mind hearing, so it's fine.
Can I just say that even I did practice this to see if it would work out well? My intention was to bake cookies and go to bed at 11 o'clock at night. And then 3 a.m. when the Warriors ended and we had two bottles of rum that were empty, we knew it would work out just fine.
Not going to stop you.
Nope.
Oh, it'll be a good time. So keep in mind of that. There's going to be all kinds of video attached to that. There's going to be live video that you can... Warriors! I'm going to turn down Mike's audio there.
God, that guy was such a douche, wasn't he?
Oh, it did not turn down at all. God damn it. But there's going to be Velda doing her thing. You're going to be able to watch the video of her and our friend Eve being a part of that. And also, at the very end, Jimmy Z is going to put something out so that before the Trundle Manor movie event, you'll have an idea of what's coming up.
Yes, and the first movie
night why it matters
is April 27th. It's going to be Faster Pussycat Kill Kill and Death Proof. Is that your birthday?
Jimmy Z's birthday?
Oh, you guys are like birthday buddies. You are
and
the
a couple
23rd,
days
darling.
After my birthday. Yeah.
Yeah. And right around our anniversary.
4 days.
I didn't want to put it on 420 because, honestly.
That's bullshit.
Yeah. So
we're not potheads.
No. But a lot of our friends are and nobody would show up. So 427.
I was just saying.
Boop.
What just happened?
I don't know.
Nothing. Turn to break. Turn to break.
Oh, no. I'm empty. I need ice. I can't, I can't cheers you.
Cheers.
I'm empty.
The man is trying to put me down. I shall rise above in this operation.
Ah. Mike, do you know Polly's in for Baltimore?
By the way.
Just saying.
I just want to tell her that, you know, she needs to sit on my lap. And as we drive down, she needs to talk about the first thing that pops up.
She'll sit in your lap, but she'll punch you in the mouth when she does.
Well,
you know
no, that'll be the lump on my head that'll be popping up. Because I'm going to say, hey, Polly, and she's going to go, crack.
You better not be driving at that point.
You have no idea. You might be okay.
No.
Are there orange pops?
Yes.
Are there more than one orange pops?
I probably want to do it all day.
Two orange pops.
You're welcome.
Yeah, that was his idea, by the way. Give credit where credit is due.
Credits. Gimme.
Gimme. Gimme that thing.
While you're mixing
gimme,
that.
Gimme that. Gimme that thing. Gimme.
Well, did your ring
that's a
show
good
up
song.
Yet?
I like that song.
Did the rings that you ordered, did they show up yet? Because mine are still in transit from Taiwan or somewhere.
I've gotten every ring that I ordered. Which one are you talking about?
Well, you had talked about ordering the Cthulhu ring.
I didn't order one.
Oh, okay. All right. I thought you ordered. Okay, all right. Because I ordered
the one that we talked about on the last Trundlecast.
Yes, exactly. Because I ordered two new ones. I had ordered a
put more of this in here.
Nikola Tesla. And
that's really cool. They have like the Tesla face.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. It's Nikola Tesla's face carved, and you can order it in stainless steel.
Mm-hmm.
Really fucking cool.
That's badass.
But. Like, my fingers have filled up, so I haven't ordered it. But
you need more fingers is what you need.
I still have a pinky,
but
it has to be, like, a small ring, I realize.
Mm.
Yeah.
Because it gets lost.
I don't
and
clink.
And the other ring I ordered.
Don't listen to what they tell you. I do not clink when I walk.
HP Lovecraft.
One of the acquisitions of the manor is a brand new thing that was donated by a friend of the manor. It's a grave rubbing of HP Lovecraft.
Oh, grave rubbing.
Stop it. HP Lovecraft's actual gravestone. And is rubbed onto the back of the cemetery brochure from where that cemetery is.
Nice.
Yeah, so that was framed and given to the manor.
That was from our dear friend Amanda, who was our preacher Rocky's beautiful wife. Yeah. Who was my manicurist. And
that's actually
been a friend of ours for a very long time.
That's going to show up in, not in the grand collection, but in the office of the manor, because I feel like it should be in the office.
I feel like we need more fucking wall space.
Well, it'll be, yeah, that's why it'll be in the office.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, Anton, it's not a funny story, but you know how last time you had talked about, you know, you just wanted Trundle Manor to be a place where you didn't matter how great the party was, but you just wanted to meet people.
Yeah.
But,
I still,
you know,
feel that
like
way.
5 years ago, at that one, that first party or that second party,
I Mike's was, like, 5 years ago, everything went to shit. So this is terrible. moving on.
Well, moving on. Was that the one party that you had? And that's when my first time that I met actually Rocky and Amanda.
Oh,
and we were
dressed as Elvis. And
yes, exactly.
Marilyn, of
yeah,
course.
We sat and talked, and we talked about Rocky Horror. And but I mean, it was just funny that you had brought that up. That it's just you don't care about, you know, so much the event, but you know, it's more about the people that you don't necessarily, you know, would talk to or you haven't met. And I met these two wonderful people because of that.
Yeah, that's, I mean, a lot of our events, that's what we try to do, is it's less about like glorifying the manor itself and more about allowing people to meet people that they wouldn't normally meet.
Yeah,
so it's always fun. One of my favorite stories, and I might have talked about this before, but because it really touched me, is that there was one of our friends, one of the people that know the manor, was during one of our parties. She was sitting on one of our stumps, and she's sitting there, and I walk up and say, "Hey, how's it going? Are you enjoying the party?" You know, she told me, she said, "I'm having such a great time." She said, "You know," and this is a rare time because during parties I'm always super fucking busy, but I paused and talked to her, and she said, like, "I've been having a really shitty year, and
oh, I love this.
I've been having a really shitty year, and nothing's been working out, and I decided, like, I'll come to this party because I was invited. I'm going to come. I'll show up." And she said, I talked to so many nice people, so many good people, and I finally, like, I feel okay again. Like, I feel good. I feel like maybe things will be okay." And this was an older person. It's not like a young, angsty kid or something. So that meant more to me, you know, that we could make someone feel just kind of okay. I don't need you to feel good. I don't need you to feel great. I don't need you to feel special. I just want you to feel okay. And we have so many strange and different groups of people. I say strange because they're different, you know, more than anything.
Every walk of life.
Everything's strange to me. Stockbrokers are strange to me. People that hang themselves on hooks are strange to me.
It's a compliment coming from us. You don't need to.
It's a melting pot.
Yeah, but
describe it. It's fine.
Well, yeah. I'm just saying, like, everything is essentially strange if you take it as that. And I love the fact that we helped her feel okay.
Yeah,
it's not better. It's not. It's not weirder. It's not more successful. It's none of this shit.
But
it's
gives you a place to be, and I've heard that from a few people. And I wish that I would have had it growing up, but I'm even happier to have helped make that for other people.
Well, it's just okay. And I feel like that's so hard to get nowadays.
To get
to
okay.
feel okay.
Yeah.
And I love
what happened.
I love that she did
hear
that.
It.
What?
I can't hear it.
No, we all went dead.
Something went dead.
Yep.
Give me 1 second. Let's take a small pause.
What'd you do? Because I hear it now.
Yep. I had to jiggle something.
Oh.
Maybe it was me.
Yep.
Did you have to jiggle him?
Jiggle the wire.
If you have to shake it more than three times, you're playing with it.
I only shook it once.
Anyway, I don't like to delve on that, but I do like the fact that, you know, the small amount of shit that we do, people seem to be okay with it and feel like they have fun. Because I have a hard time having fun. You know, like I'll go to shit and I'll feel like I'm obligated. But I'm glad that we can give something to people that feel like me and they just feel like a part of it. And that's fucking cool. I don't know.
If you have a bad time at a party here, you're just a bad time. You're just a bad time.
You're
the bad
time. At that point, it's on you. Yeah. And I take really good pride in our parties where we kind of throw everything at the wall and see what sticks. We have bands. We have movies. We have extremely loud music. Tons of alcohol.
Food.
Great lighting. Yeah. Food. And it's stocked full of weirdos that are not just like belligerent or rapey or dumb that you see at parties. Like, they're fun people to be around. So,
and the people that
you're not getting it, I'm sorry.
And it's fine if those kind of people show up, but they'll be ousted right away.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
They will feel uncomfortable, and that's up to them.
Because we have a good circle of friends.
If you're in a bad place and you show up to our party, you'll know that you're in the wrong place. And that's fine for them, too. It's fine.
But some people thought they were in the wrong place, and it turns out they were in the right place.
Yeah.
Like our neighbor.
That's very true. Yeah, we had a neighbor that showed up during one of our parties, and
he was bitching about the sound.
I was cooking corn dogs over an open fire in a giant vat of oil, and I'm cooking these things, and this guy shows up, and it's, you know, he's barefoot, and he's hanging out, and he goes, you know, and he said, somebody just sent me to you. He said, this is your party. I'm like, yeah, it's my party. And he goes, I'm one of your neighbors. He said, I showed up because I was trying to sleep. And I was going to, like, I was going to ask you to fucking keep it down and all that shit. And he said, but do you mind if I just stay?
Look, man, the wife sent me over. She's already asleep by now. Let me just let me grab a beer or something. I'll be out of your hair. You just tell her that I told you.
He said, do you mind if can I join the party? And I'm like, yeah, fuck yeah, man. Hang out. So he left and he came back with shoes and he brought us some gifts. He actually brought us like a cool ass fucking plate and some cool shit. And he just wanted to join the party. And that's what we want. I wouldn't turn anybody away. I throw parties because I want people to come and have a good time. I don't want to oust people. I don't want anyone to feel like they're not part of it. You know, no matter what you're into, I want you to feel good. I want you to have a good time. And I feel like most of our parties are pretty good at that.
Ain't no party like a Toronto man a party.
Because we end up in the pool real drunk.
Oh!
Trying to break.
In
don't
a
break.
Thunderstorm.
In a fucking hurricane, really. We had two yard sales this summer, and they both ended up with a watermelon full of booze or a pumpkin full of booze, and us all in the pool in our clothing after a hurricane had happened. Blowing everything across the yard.
The day you guys got that pool was fucking crazy. It's a little blow up. It's not even a blow up. Do the edges blow up, or is it one of the ones you just fill?
Just the edges.
Just
the ends.
Yeah, but they blow up with air, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So I've seen
not
the ones that
a real
gravity.
Pool.
No, but they do have the ones.
Well,
that
we do have one
gravity.
Of those.
Yeah,
we do have one of those.
It has a filter, but
yeah, no,
too
yeah,
much.
The blow up one with the little filter on it. Yeah,
just the ring. Yeah,
yeah, it's the one we kept.
Yeah, but when
up.
Everybody goes in with their money, fucking boots and their jeans and shit, it does not help. Filter is nothing.
Whatever. It was all fucking fun.
It was. And then every night that week I went home and it was 95 degrees. I'm like, I just want to be in the pool with the Mai Tai. And I'm like, oh, nope. That's full of filth.
And then Anton's in there in a pair of black dicky pants.
With
with black suspenders and a black shirt on going, let's make a whirlpool.
There's so many leaves.
He's crawling around because it's only a foot deep. And he's crawling around on his belly in a circle like he's a fucking alligator
from the
undersized
Black
tank.
Lagoon.
It was, though. It
a creature
was, though.
From the Trundle Lagoon.
Let's make a whirlpool.
I can't wait for this summer. I want to fucking bring that
I'm
out
so
and just
excited.
Make it terrible.
Oh, I'm so excited.
I can't wait.
Oh, I don't
know. I need to find an inflatable creature.
Oh, I'm sure they have them.
Tom Savini, at his place, has a full-size Creature of the Black Lagoon in his backyard.
It's like cement or something.
I guarantee he would make one for us.
That would float
He would make
a styrofoam. You know?
No, no. I guarantee he'd make a reproduction for us.
He does a lot of that casting.
I'll text him.
Caster. He does a lot of casting, Caster.
Oh, how about you do it?
Yeah. A while ago, we talked about it, but we met Tom Savini, and we hung out at his house.
Oh, yeah.
He hung out here, and that was really fucking cool.
Short disclaimer, I've heard negative things about the way he talks to women and blah, blah, blah. And whatever. And I know Prince had been in school, but he was amazing. He was so amazing.
Dude, if I was popular, people would say that shit about me.
Of course.
I was actually going to mention that. Who in this room hasn't said negative things to women?
Well, yeah, fair enough. But I don't know where the truth and the lie begins and ends. Yeah. And I've heard things, but I met him personally, and he was so sweet. And as a lifelong horror fan, it was very exciting. He invited us. As soon as he came in, he said, "It looks like my house." And then we got to go to his house later that week.
Nice.
And we were excited that he lived so close.
He offered us weird little pizza pieces.
He had his granddaughter's birthday party there.
It was so fucking nice.
There was the first room you walk into, because it's like an old Pittsburgh house. It's got wood paneling. It's got these gigantic Dracula thrones.
Excellent.
And then like weird baby toys, because he has like a baby granddaughter that they were having her birthday. It was so Pittsburgh. It was so real.
We fell back and we showed up and we like interrupted their family
and
time.
And I'm pretty sure
like,
we were kind of drunk.
We didn't want to like, we're not trying to interrupt.
The guy killed several men with a dick gun. I'm pretty sure his house might be a little strange. All right?
Fair enough. No, that was a great
experience. His wife, his house, they're all fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Yes, and we were honored
to
be
Tom
there.
Savini.
That was so fucking cool. I mean, he is, like, we make a joke that we're Pittsburgh royalty because somebody said that. That's really cool. But he is Pittsburgh royalty. He's like a celebrity that is in Pittsburgh that fucking owns it and lives, like,
and
he's been in Pittsburgh forever.
What I respect
he actually lives in his parents' old house
where he grew up, and that's what I respect the most, because I always say if I was a bajillionaire I would spend all my money on old horror memorabilia and not like a beautiful house and a pool, which sounds nice, but really I would spend it all on that stuff. And that's exactly what he did. He bought the house he grew up in. He expanded upon it, like it goes back like a San Francisco house, and it's full of, he has a life-size Robbie the Robot. He's a life-size Boris Karloff Frankenstein that I hugged them both and was super excited. Life-size creature in the fucking garden. All right,
so,
I'm sorry.
Sorry. We're coming up on an hour. Are there more things? We are super kind of drunk.
There's
a no, I'm sober. Yay!
That's a yay at all.
What I brought you today. I brought you the latest acquisition.
That's it. Well, that's going to be the end. Are there any things before the end?
There is one thing. So we talked about villain confessions. We also, you said we should have villain tips. Like, on tips on how to be a better villain?
Well, that's a good thing.
Let's take one Playboy calendar, not both.
Right,
Chapter
Mike?
2, Spots to Hide Bodies.
The two of you are done.
Do not drown somebody when you're wearing heavy jewelry, because you're going to go in with them and it's not good.
Okay.
You both should shut the fuck up so we can get through this. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Villain Tips. We're going to talk about things on how to be a better villain. I understand that we make it seem simple. We make it seem easy. Of course it's easy to be a villain when you are a villain. But, hey, if you're like sitting in your sad little room and you are surrounded by action figures and terrible little things that cost you a micro amount money.
Sure. Don't die. Don't die at your desk. Don't vomit on the mixing board.
Sorry.
All right.
Here are some villain tips for you.
You listen to enough movie soundtracks that sound very epic and like something's about to die, and you just stare at something really hard, you might be able to become like a fire starter and telekinesisly blow it up.
Ooh.
Or just, you know, stare at it till you stare too hard and you pass out. But it'll
you can
make
also
you feel
have
good.
Ooh, shit.
You can envision it.
You can also
witch
have
it to happen.
Aneurysm.
You can also have an aneurysm. Yeah. Problem solved.
You stare at something too long, the bell starts ringing. Blood comes out of your eye. You
and
know.
You're asleep.
Yeah,
it's
you're
nice.
Good. Yeah, it's a superpower in its own way.
Scanners. All right, so my hit for the villain... What did we say it was?
Villain tips.
Villain tips is Put blood packets into your mouth or your eyes and make that happen while somebody annoys you. They'll look at you and be like, oh, shit, he's bleeding, and they'll run the fuck away.
Oh, I like that.
Right? That's pretty good.
I don't know how you can get them in your eyes, but I like the mouth one.
Tip for ladies walking home alone at night.
Shut up.
Tip for ladies walking anywhere.
And that's our villain tips for the time.
Tip for ladies walking in public. Blood caps. Dudes will be scared.
Blood capsules.
La, 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 la.
Dudes
scare
will be scared.
Scare them. Vomit
right?
on them. They won't touch you.
This is really weird, Mike, by the way.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, this is really fucking weird. All right.
Well, it's just because it's in an Adam's photo.
Yeah. No, very. That looks terrible. He's scaring me. He looks like a serial killer.
All the more reason to have it here, you know?
I'm failing to see the problem here.
He's a All right, angry.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Arm is so drunk that he's seeing serial killers in Uncle Fester's.
We've been listening to a lot of Last Podcast on the Left, but he is a little Gacy, to be fair. I'm seeing it.
Yeah, no, he looks like a serial killer. All right. Does anybody else have a way that they... Wait, what were we talking about?
I don't know. What were you talking about?
We're so close. Do you have another villain tip?
Clean your fingernails.
Oh, that's a good lover tip.
Yeah, don't be dirty.
All right, drunken history.
Yes.
Oh.
No, we can't get there yet.
Oh, we got to come back
we
for
can't
that.
Get there yet.
Teaser.
This first.
French and Indian War. Braddock, go.
Oh, yeah, moving
Wait,
on.
Someone fought over Braddock?
Yeah.
Was it in the 90s? Right. Was it
hold
Crips
on, hold
versus
on.
Bloods?
Right. Last week. All right.
Shh, 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 shh. All right. No, this was fun. Okay. We always end the Turtlecast with an acquisition nowadays. And this acquisition is very special. This is something that is going to add to the one that we talked about last time. It's actually still in the office with us, which is a Boy Scout manual that Pugsley held and that Uncle Fester talked about. And there's an autograph from
Uncle Fester.
Ooh.
Uncle Jackie Coogan.
Yeah.
Jackie Coogan. Fuck you all. I'm super drunk.
Cougar man. Cougar man.
Jackie Coogan himself.
Mellencamp.
Not the same.
This
dude.
Was purchased by.
Not the same.
This was purchased by our Fester.
Our personal.
Yay.
Our personal Jackie Coogan. To go with the Boy Scout manual. This is going to be presented at Trundle Manor. Amongst the photograph
of John Astin.
With the Boy Scout book. No, John Astin is a part of this. This is with the Boy Scout book. Okay, I'm done.
Well, how it's going to be is we're going to be recreating the photo that was screen matched with the actual Boy Scout manual.
Yes.
Where my son, an actual Boy Scout, and myself as an actual Uncle Fester will be recreating the photo as it appears.
The most visible image of that book that we have.
That's on a way
it's
more
screen match.
Right?
Green use.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Yeah. Can I just say real quick? As a movie nerd, Jackie Coogan was, before he was Uncle Fester in 1964, he was a child actor. He was in a movie called The Kid in 1921 with Charlie Chaplin. He was a baby child. And all boys and girls.
Everything about
children,
him just like points
just wore,
to child
like,
molester. Look at that picture. It's stressing me out.
No, that's little
I'm
Lord
sorry.
Fauntleroy.
He does,
I'm sorry.
He looks
that
a
picture
little,
is stressing me out.
He looks a little like daytime John Wayne Gacy here.
Right?
As a child, he was wearing like this whole nightgown thing. And Charlie, he was an orphan. Charlie
what?
Chaplin took him in, being the cute little tramp that he was. And little baby Jackie Coogan
I'm
was also
a child
a tramp.
Star and I'm wearing a nightgown. That's what you just said.
Yes. Yes. But there's a
what?
Whole thing. So,
it was in the movie.
It was... you gotta watch a movie. So... Because he was a child actor, his parents, like most child actors, parents who fucked them over, took all of his money, and it was a whole thing. Coogan's Law was this whole thing that got signed into law where actors' parents can no longer use them as a meal ticket. And because he was so fucked over, and it's so great that he has a career as an adult because...
Time is up, honey boo-boo.
All right. I can go on forever.
No, no. I was talking. I said your time is up, honey boo boo.
I thought you were talking to me.
No.
You are.
He can call you honey. I don't call you honey.
What? Yeah. No, you're drunk. All right.
I am not. No. Oh. The tides have turned for this podcast.
Anyway,
yeah, keep going.
It looks like we're going counterclockwise. So I think the next podcast you're going to be the drunk one.
I better be. I'm gonna be pissed off if I'm not.
That's what we're gonna do. I was later.
But no. So legitimately, Jackie Coogan had a lot of influence in Hollywood beyond being in a Charlie Chaplin film, being the quintessential Uncle Fester. He got child stars to have their own rights, which is nice. Much in the same way that Bela Lugosi Jr. fought for his father, of course, the Bela Lugosi's rights as... so that, you know, all the Universal monster stuff got really popular in the 50s and 60s. And Bela died in 1956. He was not able to be alive for most of it, but they were selling his image. And whenever you see, even now, you go to the candy store, as though that's a thing that exists. You go to CVS, the drugstore or whatever, and you see Halloween candy. And there's a Frankenstein and a Dracula. The Frankenstein kind of almost looks like Boris Karloff, but the Dracula never, ever, ever, ever looks like Bela.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
How the fuck do you retain all this information?
Because I don't know.
Because it's important.
Because I don't know how much my health insurance costs. I don't know what time I have to wake up in the morning. I don't know where I put my makeup. But goddamn it, I know all about Jackie Coogan and Bela Lugosi Jr.
I've listened to you two tours, and it's have you ever talked to like someone who knows way too much about fucking sports or something?
Yeah,
I know it
it's
is
not that you know way too much, but I'm way more interested in what you have to say than someone
nerd
of
mentality,
that course,
yeah. though. It's like that.
But
why
I'm
are
like,
you so you're
you
like autistically
dates,
focused
times,
on this thing?
Years, movies, when it, I'm like
the tour is different.
I'd have a vague idea, and I'd probably sound like an idiot.
Caster, welcome to my entire life.
Honestly, Caster, with the tours, like I don't know if most of that shit I say is true. I've even like we,
but it makes it believable.
We had dinner with my parents a month ago, and I was trying to tell them a story of like. I'm saying this, but I don't know if it actually happened. I just say it to strangers a lot, so it feels true. Yeah. That's how serial killers happen, and cults, and lies, and the government.
You're
and
welcome.
Who knows? You say it long enough, and it becomes fact.
It's like a door-to-door
kind of
salesman.
Like our government.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, so, well, that seems to be the end of the Toronto cast. I hope that you guys enjoy. It was slightly emotional, slightly strange. Whatever the fuck we did. we're gonna shut this shit off. Mike?
What's Mike doing? Mike can't tell us.
TTFN. Ta-ta for now.
Oh.
And it's time to say in top of the Toronto cast itself, let's all say it together.
Yeah.
It's time to say...
Good evening.
Till the next Tremblecast.
And now, Trundlefiles, it's time for a Video Vixen Reviews with Velda von Minx. Listen in while her and her cohort ramble about various movies coming up on Movie Nights at Trundle Manor.
Hi, welcome to our Trundle Manor double feature picture show movie podcast. I'm Velda.
I'm Eve, of course.
Of course. And so at Trundle Manor, we do a double feature of B-movies and cult movies every 2 weeks. And there's not enough time to talk about all the nerdy bullshit that we want to talk about.
So much nerdy bullshit.
Yeah. It sort of becomes a big crazy party.
It does. Well, I think it's like... alcohol might get involved.
A little bit.
Don't tell your mothers.
No, we don't do those things here.
Don't leave your babies at home.
That's right. Put them back where you found them.
Yeah, just put them back in the dumpster where you found them. Sorry.
There's not enough seating.
I know. It's prom night, guys. Come on.
Yeah.
Oh, but the kickoff to the season of cinematic shenanigans.
Shenanigans is appropriate. For this year, this is our fourth year. I did not realize it has been going on for 4 years. We're going to have Faster Pussycat Kill Kill from Russ Meyer.
Mr. Meyer.
And Death Proof from mm-hmm. Mr. Quentin Tarantino.
Mm-hmm. A.K.A. Lady Elaine from Mr. Rogers.
You just told me this 5 minutes ago. The puppet Lady Elaine from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Yes.
Which, if nobody who's not from Pittsburgh is watching this. They all know.
We could drop in a picture of Lady Elaine or something.
We should. We should fix that in post.
Boom. We're like,
but Lady Elaine is this weird puppet with super rouge and
it's like it's like a wooden carved puppet head with like a little fabric body and mittens,
little teeny stick arms.
Oh, but imagine like Quentin Tarantino if he got a sunburn.
It's his face. It's the same face.
Yeah.
I never connected that before.
It's frightening. It's like Mayor McCheese and Quentin Tarantino had a baby. Like a drunken night in the playground behind McDonald's.
Oh, God.
No!
I don't like what comes out of your head.
I know. That's why I drink.
Smart.
Speaking of.
Yeah, speaking of. Let me get this Halloween cider.
Oh, yeah.
The booviest bottle opener I have, which is appropriate.
So, according to our research, after watching several documentaries about Russ Meyer, turns out he's really fond of boobs.
Yeah, who knew? You said he's like the modern day equivalent of those ancient people that just made statues that were just tits with legs.
He's like kind of recreating like the Venus of Willendorf, just in cinematic.
So good. Yeah, those are kind of taste like Halloween. I love it. I need Halloween in April. It's perfect.
I already drank my Halloween beer.
Hell yeah.
I'm bad. Same thing. But yeah, basically, should we give some background on Russ Meyer's life? Let's see. He was raised by a single mom. I don't want to like be like, ring, Dr. Freud.
but kind of, yeah.
Yeah, kind of a lot.
And his wife's name was Eve.
I know. Actually, the gig is up, you guys. I do have a time machine. I try not to tell people about it, because everybody's like, come on, I just want to go, you know, back when there was a White Castle in
Pittsburgh. Punch Baby Hitler. Oh, yeah. White Castle, of course. Yeah.
Punching Baby Hitler. How do you think he got the divot in his head? I was like, there.
Because those time-traveling idiots can't punch hard enough.
I just pressed his thumbnail really hard with my thumb. That's why I had to comb his hair over.
Is that why?
That's why. Huh. I kind of accidentally started the whole thing, but we'll discuss that later.
All right.
Yes. But yes.
Russ Meyer.
I went back in time and I married Russ Meyer.
Damn.
And I had to fake my death in a plane crash. It was really sad.
Oh, the gig is up, apparently.
So sad. But now y'all know I produced Faster Pussycat Kill Kill.
Well.
Burlesque dancer.
Bravo.
So, you know, did it for everyone.
Yeah.
But no, he was, raised by a single mom.
Of course.
And then he was in the army.
Yes.
For against the Nazis there.
Yeah. So many filmmakers of that era. I mean, everyone did.
Yeah.
All the boys went to war.
They did. They're like, well, you're going to war. You're not really good at killing things, so here's a camera. Here you go.
That's awesome.
His mother sold her wedding ring, actually, to buy his first Super 8 camera.
That's so sweet. Did she know that he would use it to film exclusively titties?
I think she did.
I mean,
I'm pretty sure. Apparently,
that probably started at birth. So yeah, I guess she would know, of course.
I'm going to guess she's probably pretty aware of whatever. Yeah, honestly, what was it? I saw the one documentary where they had not his wife, but his lady friend.
Yeah.
Kitten.
Kitten Natividad.
Yes!
Yeah.
Kitten Natividad. And she was talking about, she's like, oh, his mother loved his movies. She never thought they were dirty at all.
I always wonder how people's parents, like John Waters' mom used to go to stuff
John Waters loves her little baby boy.
I mean, damn.
Oh. So it's like good supportive parents.
So
you get cult films done.
For sure. Well, I'm fairly obsessed, as most people should be, with Tora Setana, who is the star of this movie.
Yes.
And can I just say that her real life is more badass than what she played in the film?
So messed up. Like, what do you go?
Okay, yeah, I'll go. So she's part Japanese, part native, and part Irish, right?
And she's 100% dynamite.
Damn straight she is.
Yes.
But because her family's part Japanese, when she was young, her family was interred in an internment camp during World War II. Just her and her dad, because I think her mom was passably white, so the whole family was separated. So that's how she started out. She got gang raped at 10. And
five dudes
on a 10-year-old.
Let's just take a moment to take a disappointed head shake at dudes.
Oh, Christ. So, but there's a happy ending to that because she learned karate.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say it's just karate. Some sort of martial arts.
Jiu-jitsu. Her dad taught her like all sorts of crazy like Asian fighting style.
Yeah.
There's a montage.
Sort of fighting style.
Where she learned to blow up a guy's dick by punching it.
Very came in handy because she did find the dudes that raped her and punched the shit out of them.
Yes!
She totally got her revenge, which was awesome. And she became a go-go dancer at 15 and stripper. And she started dating Elvis.
Yes.
Like, she dated, like, hot 50s black pompadour
leather Elvis
before he got Pudgian on pills, Elvis, like super hot 50s Elvis. Yes. And I'm pretty certain that when Elvis married Priscilla, who was a cutesy little redhead.
She's very, like, wholesome.
She was. She was a child bride.
She's very, but when like, Kimmy Schmidt-esque.
And the reason she still looks like that is because he made her look way older when they married, because he made her look like fucking Tora Satana.
Yeah!
Because she had big, giant beehive and big, giant black winged eyeliner, because he was still obsessed with Tora.
How can you not?
I know. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure one of their families wouldn't let the two of them get married,
she rocked him like a Tora cane.
Oh.
Sorry. I love it.
Don't be sorry.
Not sorry. Yeah, her life was super badass.
Somebody's making a documentary about her. Or trying to. It's being crowdfunded, but they got Dita Von Teese and John Waters and all the big names. So I'm hoping that something comes of that, because there should have been a movie about her decades ago.
I know, right?
To be fair.
Who would play her in a movie, Nathan? I think you need two people. You need, like, young Tora Satana would be, like, Michelle Yeoh. Or, like, somebody, like, super badass.
Okay, yeah, I can
and
see
then,
that.
Like, you would have, like, Kathy Bates or something as older.
Aw. She never quite got to Kathy Bates status.
Like,
but,
she's pretty badass in American Horror Story.
She is. Oh, I love Kathy Bates.
Well, maybe if there was, like, a glamorous Asian Kathy Bates that was, like, a bit Zaftig.
Yes.
Because she got...
And
she
I knew this person. I know they're out there, and they're not getting enough screen time.
I know! Somebody out there can take up the mantle of Satana.
Yeah.
Yes. Hail Satana.
Hail Satana.
Hail Satana.
Love it.
Let's see. Oh, so...
So the film itself,
we should probably discuss that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some of Russ Meyer's, like, pioneering film techniques.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, let's talk about, like, he basically had one camera. He literally, and I mean literally in the literal sense.
Yes.
Like, one camera.
Damn.
For, like, the entire thing. That's why he would go for, like, quick cuts. He'd be like, we can't change angles, so we're just gonna, like, shoot this. And we'll splice it together with, like, a bunch of footage of, like, a train going by.
Stock footage.
Yeah, like, he was a lot, very Ed Wood-esque with this sort of, like, let's plop in, like, in his other things, like, Ultra Vixens or something.
Oh, yeah.
Which was kind of, like, screwball
kind of thing.
Where they'd be, like, they'd show, like, a doctor lubing up his finger, and then they'd, like, cut really quick to somebody, like, jacking up a car.
That's great.
Something like that, he's just, like...
But it flows very well,
you know? It does! Like, he's surprisingly, like, his movies are kind of terrible, but
it's not
really
just
good.
Low-budget titty worship, like...
Yeah!
I mean, it's good filmmaking, and that's why Tarantino, I think, was so inspired by him.
Oh my god, can I rant about Tarantino?
Please.
Oh my god, Lady Elaine. Mr. Tarantino.
Mr. Lady Elaine.
Oh my god, tell King Friday that you need a timeout. Honestly. No, I mean, like, I think Tarantino attracts, like, especially at this point in his career... He attracts a lot of talent.
Yes.
Like, so he gets the best crew for, like, all the technical stuff.
Because he's obsessed with that stuff, too.
He's super obsessed, but, like, my only problem with... Oh, I have so many problems with Tarantino. But, like, one of my main problems with Tarantino is, like, it's cool if you want to do, like, an homage to the films of the 70s and, like, you know, make it look like that.
With little sly winks.
Little, like, wink, but
it's the same car from that film.
Yeah, look, it's a car from Bullet. And, oh, here comes Pam Grier. Pam Grier needs to be, like, cast more. I'm going to say that right now. She was awesome in Something Wicked This Way Comes.
Absolutely. Oh, my God. That's going to be shown at some minute.
Yes, we're going to discuss that later. I'm looking for two boys. If I read a free tattoo, I'm just going to have, like, dudes, like, tattooed on my hands.
I love it.
Yes. Yes. Oh, but anyway, I digress.
Tarantino problems.
He really creates, like, scene for scene, just like movies from the 70s.
He's
like, I'm not just going to take this one. I'm just going to do this, like, recreation a la Unsolved
Kind of like
Mysteries.
American Horror Story Freak Shit did with Freaks.
Yeah.
Just,
kind
like,
of the same
shot
thing.
For shot, yeah.
I'm just like, I got a boss, sidebar.
Yes.
I was bequeathed with a sack of VHS tapes. With a sack of VHS tapes, because apparently I had the last working VCR in,
I don't have one.
I know, it's, like, the only working VCR in Allegheny County.
Hell yes.
But I got a copy of Freaks, and it has, like, a spoiler right on the box. It shows her, she's all, I'm like, oh, come on, son.
No, spoiler right there on the package.
Terrible. They just didn't care.
VHS people didn't care. It was the 90s, they were doing too much coke, they weren't paying attention.
Yeah, they were like, what's the internet? Oh, I think it's coming.
Slap it on, who cares, let's go.
Laser discs are coming. Get this out.
Can I just say, I don't even know how to play a laser disc. Like, I keep finding them for movies that I love. I'm like, oh, But that's a waste of my money because I can't watch
it. And like, who has a Laserdisc player? You have to like flip them.
I can't even find a VHS player.
I had a friend in high school who had a Laserdisc player that was her dad's, and like they were like super fragile.
Of course they were.
And we'd like flip them halfway through. They're like, let's watch Die Hard.
Because it's like an 8-track player. The technology never got developed. It was just like a fad.
They're like, this will work. Oh, I found ABA Nerd Club Bonanza.
Yes.
Glasses push-up. In Regent Square, somebody was throwing away a video disc player.
Uh-huh.
It's like a weird, like, this was, you could tell, like, VHS was like, laser discs are coming. We better fight this somehow.
Ooh, nice.
So they basically took a VHS tape and they squashed it out. And they pulled, like, the ribbon out and they wrapped it around just this large, pancakey, awkward thing. It's, I can't even describe it. It's terrible.
This sounds crazy.
It's so crazy. We should just have, like, an outmoded technology, like, workshop.
I love it. Let's do it.
Oh, wait, we should focus on watching, like, talking about movies.
Oh, we have the movies are garbage. That's okay. We got off topic real easy.
I know, so off topic. But Tarantino, Lady
Yeah,
Lady.
Yeah. So.
We'll edit this later so we sound a lot smarter. I think that'll
Yeah, make that work.
Just put some music in there.
Yeah.
Now here's some more sound effects. Tarantino.
I've realized that this, The Death Proof, is one of the least well-received Tarantino's movies.
Which is, like, ridiculous.
I don't know. I loved it immediately. So, The first time I saw it, Anton had me watch it, and he usually sees the modern version of the thing that everybody knows, and I'm like, oh, that's based on this weird thing that happened a few years before that. So I'm like, oh, shit, it's Tarantino's Faster Pussycat, which is why immediately why I want to put them together.
Totally.
But I don't know, like, obviously...
Did you watch... Oh, sorry, I didn't want to interrupt.
Go ahead.
Pounce it. Did you watch, like, the whole Grindhouse thing when you did the Rodriguez and then the fake previews?
I love the fake previews. So, previews. So, for people who don't know, because somehow it kind of got swept under the rug, I think. Like, a lot of people don't know it.
It came out in the theaters.
It was 2006, 2007? Yeah. Something like that? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I think it was, like, 2000... we'll look it up. 2000... Look it up on internet later.
Yeah. But it was, so it was two parts. It was a double feature he released. So Death Proof was one, which was like the girls on a road trip kicking dudes' asses
like,
movie. Ja. And then the other one was Planet Terror, which was like the alien invasion, super gory
zombie shenanigans.
Yes.
I want to take a moment for a PSA about Robert Rodriguez.
Yeah.
Because I feel that like Tarantino and Rodriguez do like the same kind of shtick, basically. But,
they
I think that, like, Robert Rodriguez has, like, a lot more sense of humor about it.
Yeah.
He kind of knows his stuff, like, a little better.
And I can see
like,
that.
He's, like, creating new things. And, like, I don't want to be a feminist person, but, like, he's, like, this much more respectful towards ladies.
Yeah.
Like, in a weird, weird way. He's, like, if you watch, like, the Machete movies, he's, like, we're going to have this chick with, like, you know, a gun bra that's going to be, like, pew, 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 pew. Or, like, in Planet Terror, he's, like, you're going to lose your leg, but somehow we're just going to click a machine gun onto it,
but
and it's going to work.
They still have a part to play that's not just, like, your leg just getting ripped off and, like, jerking off on the way that you died, which, you know, has its own merits, I suppose.
Yeah,
but
it's like, it's
you're
like,
right, though, you're right.
It's a bit less rapey.
It is a bit less rapey.
Because everybody's all like, oh, Kill Bill was amazing, it's so girl power. I'm like, the first half of that movie was, like, Coma Thurman, just getting, like...
Because he worships the 70s. It was, like, 70s versions of, I guess we have to give you girl power, so here's, like, a whole bunch of punishment for being a woman.
Ah, take that.
And
oh,
then,
it's like
and then you have to kick this guy's ass.
I know. Well, you know what? That's like a trope in, like, men... I'm gonna sound like a feminist person, but I'll be like,
okay,
you men folk directors, like, I just want to take a moment and say, fuck you, Lars von Trier. You're terrible. You're terrible. Why did you make Bjork blind? So mean.
Why did Antichrist need to have all that genital mutilation?
So much genital mutilation.
That, like,
oh, and it's like he's always like, oh, and like my friend Pete was like, oh no, it's really empowering. And I'm like, how is somebody getting raped for like 80 minutes empowering?
That's
the opposite.
That's not for me. Like,
that's the opposite.
I don't know. Oh. I come from a different era.
I'm just like,
I like atmospheric, beautiful things. Yes. The horror I like is more gothic and less gory. Yes. I don't need to see somebody getting raped. You know,
like,
I've had a lot of friends talk about, like, which is the most fucked up movie you've ever seen?
So many.
And they're all like, you should see a Serbian film. Like, I know.
Oh, everybody keeps talking about that.
I have no desire to watch
that.
Like,
no.
It's like Two Girls, One Cup. I don't, I know it.
I can't even.
I know it without having to experience it.
I'm like, no. And, or like,
not interested.
Like, what was it back in the day? Faces of Death.
Oh, that one too.
Ooh, that was a.
Like, I get the point.
Yeah,
I don't need
like,
to go into
it. I get it. Yeah, like when I worked at the video store long ago.
And Heads Together.
In the before time.
Yes.
Long ago. There were these creepy little kids came in. and they like, I watched them steal our copy of Faces of Death 2, and I'm like,
aww.
You can have it.
Please,
I'm
get
like,
out of here.
I'm like, I'm gonna go stack some stuff in the back. May I help yourself to some other weird snuff films that wandered into our collection? Caligula's over there if you want to check that out.
Oh, that's great. Oh, some things are just not fun to watch. Like, when I love a movie, I want to watch it a million times.
Yes.
It's like playing a record that I love.
Yes.
Like, I just want to hear that song 1,000 times. And yes. I want to live in it for 2 hours. Yes. I don't want to live in that.
No, I don't want to. It's like,
not that Rapescape.
No, no, Rapescape. Hashtag Rapescape. Bumper stickers.
Oh no.
Oh my god. Oh, we're tangenting. Oh wait, let's bring this.
Bring it back.
Bring it back. Bring these ponies back around. So we discussed a little bit of Riss Meyer.
Yeah.
And a little bit of Tarantino, Lady Elaine. What else are we missing?
Should we talk about like the plot?
Oh, yeah,
of the film,
I think we should. Let's discuss some plot.
Okay.
Let's discuss some plot action.
So, Fast
there are,
Pussycat. Oh.
Sadly, we apologize to the viewers. There are no actual pussycats in Faster Pussycat.
Not in the literal
meow meow
variety.
There's no little bub. There's no grumpy cat. I'm so sorry.
No. Well,
the little bub.
They should remake that. Wasn't there that website that was remaking movies with bunnies that was animated? I mean, that should be remade with kids.
Oh, I think we need to get on this. We got Little Devil. We could put a wig on him.
You could play Tori Satan in her 60s. Because he's a little,
healthy.
He's healthy looking.
He's healthy looking. He's a healthy looking little fellow.
Yeah. He loves pork.
That's some more bacon.
That's right. So it's three go-go dancers that race their cars in the desert.
Yes.
And
oh, it's the, is it the Salt Flats?
Yeah, I believe it is the Salt Flats.
Is it the Salt Flats that have the mysterious phenomena of moving boulders?
I hope so, and I wish that had figured into the movie somehow, because that'd be so extra weird.
Really awesome. That's why they're moving now, because they, like, shimmy them.
That's right, just, like, rocks.
Whoa.
Yeah, they throw off the whole balance with all that titty jiggles.
So much boobs. Tectonic.
Yeah. They come across this couple that is also racing their car, and
yeah, it's like this tool bag square guy, and it's like
they're like
terrible
refugees from a beach party movie.
Yeah, they literally are.
Yeah.
I'm like, how did you get to the desert?
Yeah,
and they're just like, well, there's sand, where's the water?
And they kidnap the girl, and Tourist Santana kicks the shit out of that dude.
Totally does.
It was
like,
context.
It's like over,
we're
like
just
a...
making her sound really mean.
No,
if you
but
haven't
it's like,
seen
it's
it,
contextual.
It was very contextual.
Very contextual. They're like kind of on a crime spree a little bit,
yeah.
And there's like this creepy old guy.
They end up at this guy's farm in the desert,
yes.
And it's sort of part Texas Chainsaw Massacre, part Petticoat Junction.
Yes,
it's a weird land.
It's actually like I think it did influence Texas Chainsaw because they have that weird awkward dinner.
The dinner scene, like
yes.
That, is among the craziest film dinner scenes ever.
Totally is, and like I don't want to give any spoiler alert, obviously, but like at the end, like I won't tell you who gets stabbed.
Someone's getting stabbed,
and at one point, like, after this girl gets stabbed, the old guy's like, well, just bring her in the house, and I'm like, ew!
Yeah,
oh,
no, it is 100% Texas
Total
Chainsaw
Texas.
Massacre about to happen.
Oh, they're gonna make a love puppet out of her, for sure.
And his kid, he's two sons, and the one is just, like, a super beefcake, and that's kind of
he's kind of like Rocky.
He's very Rocky. He's like Rocky from Rocky Horror.
Yeah.
And they call him the vegetable, don't they? Which is
problematic,
but
you're just, I'm like, it's not appropriate in
just,
a lot of ways.
You're just a slab of beef.
He's just a little slow guy who's really hot.
Yeah. Which is funny that, like, the hootie boobity girls that are all jiggly have agency and lines, and it's all about them. But then, like,
there's
a hunky dude that's just a slab of beef. He's a vegetable.
He's just a piece
of meat.
Speaks
two words.
He's just there for love.
Yeah,
pretty much.
And then they do bathe in the water tower at some
point. Yeah, they're like, let's just, like, well, you have to have an excuse for, like, a shower scene in any Russ Meyers movie.
Of course. And there was no nudity in it. It's everything but.
No, it's like the cleanest, actually. Oh, also, another one of Russ Meyers' nicknames was the Walt Disney of porno.
Aww, that's so charming and sweet in like a non-Nazi way.
Disney.
But
it's like a wholesome kind of porno.
It is. Because he filmed some nudie stuff before that.
So much nudie stuff.
People think this was his first movie and his first entree into that, but it wasn't.
No.
It just happened to be somewhat cleaner.
Yes, it was like slightly. Well, he got away with like a bunch of stuff later that was just straight up porn, but he would have like a moral message.
Yeah. Oh, that's how you've gotten away with it since day one.
Yes. He'd like narrate something. Oh my god, there was an interview with a kitten.
Natividad.
Yeah, Kitten Natividad, his lady friend, right up till the end. And she was talking about shooting one of his films, and she's like, well, you know, you're naked in a field, and you realize there's ants crawling up your ass,
oh,
and there's nothing you can do about it. about it. I'm just like, oh, Nitivadon.
Damn, that's a trooper right there.
She's a solid trooper. She's earned her wings.
I don't know if I can handle that.
I would not be into it. I'd be like, oh, I don't need flora and fauna up in my snooch.
I don't want... She's
like one or the other.
I didn't sign up for that.
I didn't sign up. Oh, my God. So we got Rissmeyer.
Yes. Chicha,
who established, which I think is like a very delicious pairing.
I think so, too.
With Death Proof.
I think so, too.
Because it's like definitely Tarantino is like, I'm going to make Faster Pussycat kill, kill.
And they both have their fetishes real looming large on
screen.
Oh my
God, feet!
Tarantino's feet thing.
Oh, in every movie with the feet.
There's two halves of this movie.
Get it,
movie.
Tarantino. Get it. Ooh. I stepped in some gum earlier. You want it? Ooh. Sexy.
What?
It's Big Red. Ooh.
Big Red. Where is it, Big Red?
Or do you know it'd be Juicy Fruit?
Ooh, I stepped in some juicy fruit.
Juicy fruit off my boot.
Oh my God.
Tarantino. Let's like invite Tarantino to your house so we can just mock him and take his lunch money.
Yeah. He would pay top dollar for that.
Yes. See, that's a weird thing. Like,
let's pay for a vacation that way.
Yes. I want to be like, lick my boots. And he'd be like, here's $20. Or like, get the other one. All right, that's fine.
All right. Let's order a pizza.
Yeah, right? Give me a pizza. Well, I'm going to eat a pizza. I said pizza.
I think.
That's like,
Freudian salute.
Little Freudian going on there. But yes, Tarantino.
So Death Proof is basically two movies jammed into one.
Mm-hmm.
It's two sets of girls. And the first one, which, by the way, I just watched Escape from New York last night.
For the first time?
Yeah, admittedly.
Ooh, Kurt Russell?
Yeah. Mm. I can see it. Kurt Russell's in it, again with an eye patch. Which is that an homage to Escape from New York? Or just...
Does he have an eye patch in Death Proof?
I think he does.
Because he's like, I know he's like driving around all like grungy.
Oh, maybe he has a scar. It's been a minute since I've seen it, to be honest.
A minute. Maybe he has like a...
Something going on with his eye. Something fucking...
I would watch Escape from New York.
Hell yeah.
So much.
I'll have to play that for some night.
You know what I like about that movie? So much is implied. Like the part where like they just like catch him and they strip him down for the gladiator fight with that big dude and they take his shirt off and there's a snake tattoo and it starts here. And just like so the tail goes down and I'm like, oh, I get you.
Well, I see.
Thanks, John Carpenter.
John.
thanks, Johnny.
The first half is Snake Plissken.
You're gonna have some sandwich.
Rose McGowan.
Yes.
As this
duck
super
face,
cute blonde.
Cute little duck face girl.
Yes.
Which one was she on Charmed?
You know, I never saw Charmed.
It's terrible, but it's like good 90s terrible. It gets real bad.
I loved
real
her bad. In Jawbreaker.
Yes.
When she was still married to Marilyn Manson.
Oh, Marilyn Manson. Oh.
Yeah, well.
Let's give him a disappointed head shake.
Oh, Marilyn. Marilyn? So
little baby duck face.
Yes.
Oh, and you know the other thing about the Death Proof is we're gonna edit it later.
A lot of work for him.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Or we can just have it be stream of consciousness. It's fine.
That's true.
How long does the cast go? I said 15 minutes. It would be 15 minutes if we weren't rambly, but we are. So
that's true.
Okay.
All right, we'll wrap it up.
I'm just trying to help.
I know. We appreciate it. For our home audience, that was Anton.
Yeah.
That was Mr. Trundle himself.
He's a husband.
It's your husband.
I don't like that.
Really? Let's see. So basically, Kurt Russell.
Yes.
Is like.
Stuntman Mike.
Yes.
Because Tarantino is obsessed with film and the people behind the scenes of film, so he was a 70s stuntman.
Yes.
Who is. Kind of a has-been at this point.
Kind of a serial killer.
Totally a serial killer. So he kills Rose McGowan, spoilers.
Yes, like his whole gimmick is like he has a car that's death-proof.
Right. Because
it's like reinforced rebar, except for the passenger seat.
Which is where the cameraman goes.
Yes.
Supposed to
be the cameraman, but
it's a cute blonde, it gets her face all bloody and smashed up.
Oh, her little duck face gets so beat up.
And she's got such a cute little voice, like, I promise I won't tell anybody.
We just let me go. Sorry. Why can't she just, like, have that, like, machine gun leg left over from the other half of the movie?
Right.
Problem would have been solved.
Problem solved completely.
Robert Rodriguez.
I know. And can we just talk about the soundtrack from Death Proof for a minute?
Yes. Okay, that's one thing I will give Tarantino. His soundtracks are always, like,
If he never makes another film again, I want him to just release mixtapes.
I was gonna say that. Like,
that's one of my favorite soundtracks of all time.
That's basically what he does. I think that's, like, his thing. He's like that awkward guy who's like, "Amy, do a mixtape." Yeah, and he'd like push it in your locker and run away.
Yeah.
And he'd be like, "Where did this come from?"
But it's fucking awesome. Oh, okay. Like, that guy's weird, but I like his music.
He's like, Lady Elaine's got it going on.
Thanks, Lady Elaine. I mean, I want to touch it, but.
And I'm like, "Oh, I'll hang out.
I'll listen to your DJ show."
Total friend zone.
Yeah.
Friend zone!
But he's got like T-Rex on there. Yes. He's got like Chick Habit, which is one of the greatest songs
such
of all time.
A badass girl power song. And, while they're beating him to death.
1,000% perfect.
Do we care if we give spoilers?
I don't care.
I like just like they have this like so like Russell. He's like he smashes Baby Duck Face to death,
and then he smashes another car full of girls to death, which are our first group.
Yes, and then before then, Quentin Tarantino was trying to figure out how girls talk.
I don't think he's ever heard a group of girls talk.
I think he has. I feel like he was like from maybe crouching in a diner behind some girls, and he's like, "This is how ladies talk."
Breathing heavy behind a diner booth vinyl. Yeah.
Steaming up that boomerang formica with his little sweaty hands.
Wow, I can see it all. It's perfect. Yeah. Gross.
But yeah, he tried really hard to figure out what girls sound like when they have conversations.
Yeah.
I think he watched a lot of Tampax commercials.
Yeah, and probably. Believed them.
Yeah. 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 He's like, so girls want freshness. Fact.
and cute drinks, but not whiskey drinks.
No, they drink little drinks with umbrellas because that's what girls do.
Fuzzy navels.
Yeah, and then they hate other girls too.
Right, of
yes.
course.
Oh, yes. Oh, poor things. Yeah. Oh, but anyway, after Quentin Tarantino goes home for the day, they got a bunch of kick-ass stunt driver coordinators. I think the main lady in it is an actual stunt woman.
Zoe Bell, yeah. In the second group of girls, she plays herself, which is awesome.
Super awesome.
No, she's fantastic. Mm-hmm. When she plays Ship's Mast and gets tied to the front of the car.
So badass!
I know, like, part of me wants to try it, and part of me is like, I am not coordinated
enough.
I'm
slow speed.
I'm not a professional.
I would try it maybe on, like, a slip and slide.
Yeah. There you go. That's like the training wheels
like,
version.
Wee! You basically like stand up on a slip and slide. That's how that works.
We're gonna coming this summer.
Yes. That's the one thing we should not have.
In my yard is a slip and slide.
I agree. I mean you should, but it'd be so many injuries.
Yeah.
I think we should do it anyway though.
Alright, we'll see.
Yes. Oh, but long story short, what seems to be a run of the mill slasher crasher.
Oh.
Turns into a girl power dynamo.
Kicking Kurt Russell in the face extravaganza.
So much Kurt Russell kicking in the face. Super.
No, it's got a fantastic ending. And just the whole thing, like, they're fun. They're so much fun, both of these movies.
They really are super fun. And it's like, they're very well matchy-matchy.
I think so.
Very matchy-matchy.
Yeah. Well, if you can't make it to our movie night, April 27th is the first one. This is... our Faster Pussycat Death Proof Night. Just watch them. If you haven't seen them, watch them. Do yourself a favor, because they're fun.
Yes.
We don't do boring film criticism.
No.
Hoity-toity.
No, we're not like,
whatever.
I actually thought that the German Expressionism in Nosferatu was film.
Uh-uh.
No.
No, no protection.
Do this?
Whatsoever.
I'm going to not show the brand. There's alcohol in there.
Yeah, trust us.
So that's fun.
Yeah, and there'll be plenty more going on throughout the summer. TrundleManor.com is the name of our website and our house if you want to come for a tour. Anything you would like to promote?
Good. We got swords.
We do. We need swords.
We got bamboo sticks.
We've got
all sorts of things. Taxidermy, titillation, and tragically good times.
Oh, I love it. Is there anything you want to promote?
I want to promote... No, I got nothing.
Okay.
Nothing. Just be good to yourselves and tell Quentin Tarantino that he looks like Lady Elaine.
But don't tell him we said it.
Yeah, no, tell him we said it.
All right.
Like, tell him he owes me a foot massage.
He would have money.
I think he would like that.
He would too. Okay, bye.
Bye, good night.
Bye. Thank you.
my trundle vials, this is the end. Whatever will you do now that it's over? We would like to thank all of our supporters and cast for their diligent hard work, keeping us propelled into the future. Even time machines need blood sacrifices now and again. Be sure to tune in to the next Trundlecast, where the usual cavalcade of monsters will be toasting to your misfortune and probably planning some mischief on the side. While you're waiting, why not visit trundlemanor.com, where you'll be able to book a tour and experience the manor all by yourself. Be sure to peruse our videos and photo pages online to get a glimpse into the lives of our inhabitants. And follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Tumblr just by typing Trundle Manor into the search boxes. Don't forget to send your stories of Trundle Manor, both unusual and unnatural, to the Trundlecast at trundlemanor.com. We may even read them right here. Now, close that coffin lid and get some rest, because you'll need it to be prepared to take on the next Trundlecast.
I never liked it, but she likes it. And that's my weakness now. She likes it. I never liked it, but she likes it. And that's my weakness now.